We will be pouring gold in the near term from our sort of baby step production. What I'm working on right now is finalizing our internal mine plan and it's called a minor modification to our mining permit, which allows us to potentially extract larger volumes of rock, adjust some of the shapes. So look for news on that.
Kelly Malcolm Borealis Mining, how are you?
Fantastic in sunny Hawthorne, Nevada at the moment, Andy.
So to all my viewers and listeners, I am an investor in Borealis Mining. They did not pay for this interview. They are currently not a sponsor, just full disclosure for everything. Kelly, so I met you in Atlanta. It's been about, I want to say, 3 or 4 months ago. I don't know exactly the timeline. I was very impressed with your presentation, and so I started to accumulate shares in the company. Well, let's get a 30,000-foot view now, right now, of the company. Tell me about Borealis, where you guys are at, and the projects.
Sure. So Nevada focused, gold focused. We've got three projects, one of which is a fully permitted, fully built, fully operations ready, and partially in operation right now. Mine site that's called the Borealis Project. Next on the chopping block, we've got the Sandman Project, which was acquired through the acquisition of a company called Gold Bull Resources that closed in March of this year. That one's development stage. It's got an economic study, looks really good. We're going to start advancing that pretty rapidly here over the next few months. And thirdly, we've got an exploration asset called Big Balds with a D that is just adjacent to the Bald Mountain Mine owned by Kinross Gold.
Okay, and just for all of our viewers and listeners, that is in Nevada as well, correct?
Everything's in Nevada, starting about 2 hours south of Reno, going up about an hour east of Reno to Sandman, and then another hour and a half over to the Big Balds project. So
Got
relatively
it.
proximal, all under one management team, synergies abound, and we hope to capitalize on those.
Okay, I want to work all three of those out, and just so you know, I think I mentioned this when I met you in Atlanta. I'm actually spent a year of my life 20 years ago or 25 years ago in Reno. Lovely town. Go up to Tahoe all the time. Not exactly.
Spectacular.
Yeah, it is
It's pretty
spectacular.
swanky now, but it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it was a incline village. It was very rich. I didn't live there, but we go up there. My little brother lived there. But really enjoyed it there. And also, so all of our viewers and listeners know, correct me if I'm wrong, Kelly, one of the things that is very appealing about Borealis is the jurisdiction. Nevada is ranked at the top or the top jurisdiction, mining jurisdiction in the world. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Year, certainly it fluctuates between top one, two, three, basically year over year, and it produces a heck of a lot of gold. And for me, coming from Canada, most of my experience was in the Abitibi Greenstone Belt in Yukon. It's a really nice place to be, largely because all the rocks are for the most part exposed at surface.
Well, let's work that out then. Let's start with the Borealis, that project. How many ounces do you have in that project when we're talking gold here?
So we're going to go historical. We don't have a current resource base yet. That'll be updated at some point in the future. But as of a 2011 pre-feasibility study, showed 1.8 million ounces measured indicated at a grade of about 1.28 grams per ton.
Excellent. Okay, so you got 1.8 million right there. Now, tell me about what's the plan here with all three properties? What's the big goal? And also, to let all of our viewers know, I met with Rob McEwen at the Rural Symposium, spent some time with him. Fantastic guy. He is an investor in your project, correct?
He is by far our biggest shareholder, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. So, obviously, he sees something. I see something. What are we looking at? You tell me in the or tell our viewers and listeners
Sure.
and
So we'll take a little backstory as to how we picked this up. I was working with a fantastic company called Amex Exploration for 5 or so years, SVP Exploration, kind of corp dev type role as well. Wanted to do my own thing, so started looking at different assets. And looking at all these from an exploration standpoint. So we looked at Borealis for its exploration potential, historically some spectacular hits. We came to the mine site, which doesn't really dawn on you how how advanced the infrastructure is until you see a project. So came here and we're like, Eureka moment. We think this is bigger than just a little exploration play. Let's kind of change the game, change strategy. Started to put our board together with a mining focus, with a growth focus, with an acquisition focus, and looking to build a mining company. Went out and started raising money. Got some really, really great shareholders. Rob McEwen being the biggest. Next up on the list would be Eric Sprott, also over 10%, but a really, really strong institutional backing, backing our team, myself, our board, and the asset base with that vision growth. So they will be there for money as needed down the line, but we kind of pivoted, like I said, from that initial, this is a wonderful exploration project, and into let's build this into the next Kinross Gold, which our chairman built early on in his career. So looking to advance the Borealis project through production. I'm an explorationist, so we're definitely going to be continually poking holes and testing ideas and testing targets, looking for the next big discovery. But we're also very M&A focused, Andy. So our first deal we announced within about 4 months of going public. We announced an acquisition of a company called Gold Bull Resources. We got the Sandman and the Big Balds project through that. And we are actively looking at and analyzing and doing due diligence on a number of different projects throughout the state. So we are looking to grow and looking to grow accretively, looking for assets that are complementary to our current base, looking for things that we can find. And then that's one of the intriguing things about our strategies. We're not looking to go buy 5 million ounce gold deposits. We're looking for things that are smaller, that are bite size, and that I can finance without blowing up my personal holdings in the company. We want to maintain a strong structure and look for increase in share price through those three activities: production, M&A, and exploration.
Okay, so we're going to pin that thought here of your skin of the game, and that's very key to me, meaning not blowing up a share price.
Yeah.
I'm sure also to all of our viewers and listeners, very key. But you have these three projects, and I actually look forward to a pathway to 5 million ounces. It makes no difference to me if they're smaller projects or if larger projects, if you would. But talk to me about, the plan, work that out for a little bit more for me. And also you mentioned that you have a permit to mine. Is that a permit to mine on all three projects or just the Borealis project?
Okay. So first part, we have the historical, again, caveat, 1.8 million ounces at Borealis. We've got 476,000 ounces from a very recent study at Sandman. And the next asset is currently Big Balds is a pure exploration play. I look at, yes, I would absolutely love a much, much larger resource base. And I'm assuming we're going to get there. That's our plan. And we've got,
I think you're going to get there. Just me being speculative, but yes, I think you're going to get there. Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. Our vision, our team's vision is the magical 200,000 ounce per annum production profile. And I think that the ounces are great, but I think the real key to getting those big multiples, you're trading at 1x rather than a discount to NAV, getting into all the different indices, getting into that global, this is a mining company sphere, happens when you at least have the possibility of production of those numbers. Certainly you're in all those numbers, you're a mid-tier producer if you're doing over 200, but at least over the next 3 to 5 years, we absolutely want to present a pathway. And of course, Andy, that's very forward looking, but that's the board's mandate to me is build this out. However you may do it, via exploration, via M&A, but we want to see a growth trajectory to get to that magical number, because that's when big things happen to the company. That's when you can hit those lofty market caps. That's when you can do bigger deals. When you look at Kinross, if you step back through history there, when Bob first took it on and went public, it was basically a single producing asset doing about 40 or 50,000 ounces a year, along with two other satellite assets, kind of similar to what we're looking at right now, through great exploration, a series of, a number of acquisitions, some of which worked really well, some of which didn't. And that's the nature of M&A. He was able to acquire the, Round Mountain Mine, which is still in production 25 years later, the Fort Knox Mine, which probably will be in production for another 20 years down the line, all the Russian assets, and catapulted that thing from a little piddly junior into what is still known today as one of the biggest and best gold companies out there. So we've got some grand visions, Andy, but we've got the team that has done it before, and we're trying to do it again.
Yeah, so yes, who am I to give you any kind of mandate and directive, but that's music to my ears, because I would give you the same directive. And again, who am I? I'm not in that position.
You're a shareholder, buddy. You're my best friend.
That's right. Yeah. I want to see you guys going in production with, gold north of 3,000 an ounce. Again, I have several different sponsors on the site that I'm also an investor in, and they're printing money. That's a conversation I have with them online and offline at these gold prices. And so, again, music to my ears. Do you have an ETA on, you said, 3 to 5 years when you're going to be producing? And so you're not in production now just for, and I know these questions, but I just want it for all my viewers and listeners. You're not in production now, correct?
We are not in formal production yet. What we've started, we've announced it, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, that we've started crushing. So we've started the baby steps towards production, Andy. So we acquired this asset from a private equity firm out of Toronto that basically just stopped, and they stopped all operations, went full care and maintenance. When they stopped that, there was a stockpile. And again, it's not overly exciting, but it's still going to generate some pretty good money, of 350,000 tons with about 5,000 to 5,500 contained ounces. You're looking at a recovery of about 70 to 75% of that material. So we've started crushing that. It's being stacked on our leach pad. Cyanidation should start towards the end of this week, if not into early next week. And we will be pouring gold in the near term from our sort of baby step production. What I'm working on right now is finalizing our internal mine plan and a minor modification to our mining permit, which allows us to potentially extract larger volumes of rock, adjust some of the shapes. So look for news on that. Fingers crossed, but we just had some good meetings with the regulators. So we're anticipating that in very short order. And that will be our pathway forward. So we would put very soft guidance out in our most recent release that we would like to be in genuine blasting, mucking, hauling, crushing our own mined ore in the year 2025. So I don't have firm guidance to give you right now, but I am pushing as hard as we can push, our team and myself, to get making money in this environment. So we are actively and aggressively pushing that forward.
Okay, so that's music to my ears, to all my viewers and listeners. What I like to look for is really, really early stage explorers. And so when they hit, you get a nice run-up, a really good run-up, potentially, when they hit, or towards on the latter side of the Lassonde curve, going in production. I think with you guys, you have to almost, and these are my favorite kind of deals, you have to put on your private equity hat. And what you're looking at is cash flow generation with the potential for more gold. And I say with, and again, do your own due diligence as I have, there's a strong potential for more gold. So I wish more companies would do it this way, just so you know, get cash flow and then ramp up the exploration. So kudos to you and well done to the team.
Thanks. Well, I watched a cool interview actually. We were talking about Rick Rule before this. But of George Salamis from Integra.
Yeah.
At the Rural Symposium. If you watch that interview, it's really good. And he's like, I was in the car with Rick. We were driving down the road in Nevada, showing my other development assets. We drove right by Florida Canyon. Rick's like, you know, George, I think that if you were to pick up a production asset, you could really, really springboard your company. Mm-hmm. It's a good interview or a good presentation if you want to take a peek. But I think that should be the mandate for lots of these groups. Unless your plan is an exit, and if you're looking for that exit, then pure play exploration works, and you're hoping your asset's good enough that you can get bought out at a good premium. But if it's not, you better figure out a way to advance without blowing up your investors. And that's not that our asset's not great, but we're not right. A pure play exploration company. We're looking, I want to have this job, and I'd like to speak to you in 15, 20 years from now when this is a much larger operation.
Yeah, and about all that, speaking to all my viewers and listeners, when you're cash flowing, talking about blowing up, you don't have to blow up the share structure, which I'd like to talk about and next. But let me ask this first. You mentioned a bleach pad, so you don't need a mill, correct?
That's right. We have what's called an ADR facility for your listeners. It's adsorption, desorption, recovery. And so that the leach pad funnels gold-laden and cyanide fluid into carbon columns at the outside and inside of our recovery facility that kind of act like a Brita filter. And the Brita filter, in this case, is segregating the impurities from that fluid, and the impurities are gold and silver. So we load up our carbon on site, do a bunch of different chemical processes to that that material, and we pour Doré bars at Borealis with a fully functional and fully permitted facility.
Okay, and what do you get when you're selling that? Meaning, is it spot minus 5%, 10%, or what's the, how much money are you making when you're pouring gold?
So really, really cool question. And I was just at the Money Show last week in Las Vegas, which was great. And I went to a gold masterclass just to learn a little bit more about what's happening in the gold market. Obviously, I have a bit more insight than many people in the crowd there, but everyone always talks about silver being such a short, a limited supply metal. You wouldn't believe how many people are pounding my phone and email and knocking on the door trying to get gold supply. It is very, very limited. So we're basically getting spot less 0.x%, like less than a percent at the refiners. Some are often paying above, not often, some are offering to pay above. So it's a tight market out there. We're getting a great return on our gold, but it also, to me, and this is a big digression, but speaks to where gold's going. I think there's genuinely a shortage of supply in the world. And if Little Borealis is getting hounded by a bunch of refiners, I'm sure that, there's not an abundance of gold sitting in storerooms. So I anticipate that the price continues moving up just on a supply basis.
Okay. Just to all my viewers and listeners, I was talking to a company just earlier in the week. What's today? Today is Wednesday. So this was Monday. And they were getting spot minus 5%. And I was thrilled. So if you're getting spot or close to spot, congratulations on you. That is, again, it's...
Sorry to interrupt, but it depends on your purity and whatever you've got extra in there. So we've got a mercury retort system. So we pull all the mercury out. That's one of the biggest penalties that you get. But sorry to interrupt, Andy. But yes.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm thrilled if I get spot minus 5%. So if you're getting that or better, I'm even more happy. So let's talk about real quick about share structure. Another thing that really attracted me to you was your tight share structure. Talk to me about that, and talk to me about where the warrants and options written at what strike and when do they expire, or if they're in the money.
Sure. So we're about 153 million or so fully diluted. We've got about 7 or 8 million dilutable, so options and RSUs. The RSUs were granted to employees at site that we want to get aligned with us. All options were to directors, officers, consultants. There's not a single option written less than 81 cents in the company. So above where we're currently trading, that was largely because we were trading a little bit higher when we first went live, but there's no cheap options in the deal. Warrants range from 75 to 78 cents. So pretty close to in the money right now. A good chunk of those do expire in the middle of September of this year. Although I'm not overly concerned on a pressure basis, Eric Sprott controls about a fifth of those. Another fund controls the same position. So we should just get those exercised straight up without any selling pressure. And that'll bring in, if all those warrants are exercised, we'll bring in about $11 million Canadian.
Okay, excellent. So your that leads me to my next question. How much money do you currently have to lead what you want to do?
We've got, it's going to start going in and out as we start pouring, but call it better than 5 million Canadian right now. So we're in a good position here to execute on our plan. What we're going to start seeing is revenues this quarter, I'm hoping, and those will continue going forward. To start up the mine, Andy, and again, this is a very forward-looking and probably non-compliant statement, but our internal evaluation of what we have, it's going to be very little money to get up and running because the pits are already built, haul roads are already in place, waste dumps are already in place. So what we'll need is working capital, essentially, to pay the contractors from once they start mining and crushing to when we get receipt of gold. So we're just working that out, but we should be in a very strong position to execute without having to raise additional money. Certainly if some of those warrants come in, that alleviates that pressure even further, but we should be in a pretty darn strong position by end of the year here.
Okay, excellent. Okay. So let me ask you this. As an investor, well, let me say this first to all my viewers and listeners. These are the kind of deals that I look for and I am invested in. I love to see cash flowing or soon to be cash flowing companies that can internally fund, but don't have to internally fund really the goal and the dream, if you would. That being said, I don't mind a raise as long as it's going into further production. In fact, if you have any experience with junior mining, or if you don't, just know that companies have to raise money. You always want it to get it raised higher than the last time they raised money. But what's music to my ears also is that you have you have a relatively strong war chest, but it's going to make that even stronger going into production. So well done on you. Let's leave with this. Give me your website and your ticker symbols, if you would, and what exchanges are you traded on, and any final thoughts that you'd like to tell any new or potential investors.
Sure, lots of fun things. BorealisMining.com. I would suggest that visitors check out, we've got a verify link up there so you can spin around the mine site, walk through, see all the infrastructure, see what we're doing. So that's the website. We trade on the TSX Venture under the symbol BOGO, B-O-G-O, OTC Pinks, B-O-R-M like Mary, F like Frank. And just be mindful, there's another company called Borealis under a very similar symbol. So it's B-O-R-M-F. And we're on the Frankfurt and European exchanges, L4BO. You can contact me as well, KMALCOLM at BorealisMining.com anytime you'd like. I love talking to people. And final thoughts is this is a really cool time. We picked up this project in April of 2023. I've been looking at the stockpile ever since, wanting to generate revenue. We've spent a bunch of money, a bunch of time, a bunch of brain power on optimizing the plant, optimizing our internal operations. We've got some grand visions for exploration as well. And it's, in my opinion, it's a good time to look at the company. I'm not going to tell you to invest in it, but certainly a great time to look at it. It's exciting. And thanks, Andy, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. And again, this is not a recommendation for you. Do your own due diligence. To all my viewers and listeners, I am in on the, I bought on the open market, just like any potential new investors, if you would. I own no warrants or no options on the project, and I was not paid for it. I just want to give exposure to Borealis Mining and to Kelly. Thank you, Kelly, so much for your time. And I'm looking forward to the news flow coming in the next few weeks.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.